All right, thank you for sparing your time to be on Careers for Kids. We hope we have a great interview. Now, let's get started.
All right, thank you for having me.
Yeah, of course. So I forgot to put the introduction in there, but you are Karen Joslav, and you work at, you are a special education teacher at, is an elementary school or middle school in the Upper East Side?
It is actually it's a K through 12 school, and I'm going to be working with 6th graders through 12th graders.
I see. All right. Yes. So, yeah. All right. Tell us what you currently do right now.
Well, right now it's summer, so I'm doing a whole lot of nothing. But before summer, I spent the last 2 years as a special education teacher at Coleytown Middle School in Westport. And I can tell you kind of a little bit about what that means. You know, we have the resource classes where we work with students specifically who need extra support kind of just in a bunch of different areas. It could be math, it could be reading, writing, it could be organization, study skills, really just making sure that students who kind of need that extra support have it and they can be successful with the support that we have. So, you know, it's a little bit different every day and every student I work with is very different. So it's kind of always a fun game of figuring out the best strategy to work with each student and make sure that they're involved in the process and you know, are willing to put in the work. And I think most eighth graders usually are.
So tell us how you got to this position.
That's a very good question. I actually had a bit of a kind of roundabout way of getting here. When I was in college, I was studying communications and I was studying French. And I also was kind of teaching and tutoring all around the Washington, DC metro area. So I knew that I loved working with kids. I knew I really loved teaching. And I thought for a while that I might be a French teacher because that's really what I was passionate about and loved that in college and all through high school. And when I graduated college, I actually just kind of was not sure what I wanted to do. And I ended up working at SoulCycle, which is a, you know, a kind of boutique fitness studio.
And I
worked there part-time and then ended up becoming a manager in the studio and then finally moved into their corporate office, actually. So I did a lot of, you know, work with marketing and public relations and kind of experiential marketing. Very, very different from what I'm doing now. But the whole time I was there, I was tutoring. I worked with students kind of all over New York in reading, writing, math, French, kind of from around third grade up through high school level. And I really loved doing that on the side. I kind of saw it as a, you know, just kind of something on the side I was doing for a while. And then I realized that really that was kind of the thing that I was most passionate about. And I wanted to really put my time into that, getting to work with, you know, students from a lot of different backgrounds, different types of schools, and in different subject areas. So ended up moving back into a school environment, and then we got hit with COVID. And, you know, that really changed the way students were learning. And I'm sure, you know, you remember how those the kind of foundational years were disrupted from what turned into online learning. And that's when I really became interested in, you know, kind of creating an approach that will match the needs of every student and really trying to help, you know, fix what COVID had disrupted and really start to continue to kind of build students' confidence in their work, both, you know, academically, behaviorally, and just kind of the general day-to-day of being in school. So the next step was to go to grad school, and I got my master's in special education and then started the search process. I looked a little bit in Nashville and then looked in New York and Connecticut, and just kind of loved Coleytown when I interviewed there. I met some really great people who were doing the interview, and just it felt like the perfect fit at the time. So that's where I started in eighth grade, and I was an eighth grade special education teacher for the past 2 years.
Yep. So what part, actually, hold on. I want to deviate a little bit.
Sure.
This is a bit off topic, but what is it like inside of SoulCycle? I've always driven past it or ridden on my bike past it. I'm like, what is it?
Yep. It is. So it's, you know, I think a lot, maybe a little bit less popular than it once was, but it's a spin studio. So, you know, they have indoor cycling classes. I think they kind of started that at just the right time. The company started around, I think around 2008, and they kind of filled a niche that didn't quite exist at the time. Now there's a lot of different types of studios. There's The Solid Core is right next to that SoulCycle studio. There's berries, there's Pilates, there's yoga, there's treadmills, cycling, all of these kind of different little boutique fitness type workouts that really kind of had a rise around the time that I was in college and graduating college. And I loved the class and really wanted to just kind of see what the other side was and how it worked. And it was very interesting. They really focus on hospitality and kind of client relationships. So while yes, the basis of it was kind of a workout class, they really it was a really interesting way to learn about hospitality and kind of building relationships with people and making it just a really fun and welcoming environment.
That's cool. So what part of your job do you enjoy the most and, well, dislike the most?
Well, I think my answer for those questions is the same. I think the thing that I love the most and the thing that is the most predictable, especially about middle schoolers, is that it's unpredictable. There is, every day is different, every student is different. I love that, we can all work together and kind of be flexible with how we approach the curriculum. And I just love the age. Again, every day is different, and I really like getting to kind of be a part of the growth that happens from 7th to 8th grade and into high school. And kind of the other side of that is also the unpredictability can be tough. There's a lot going on, and as a middle schooler right now, I think it's really hard to be that age sometimes. There's a lot of pressure, there's social media and kind of communication and interaction in a way that was not the case when I was, in middle and upper school. So I think there are a lot of factors that really affect the way that students come into school each day. And that can make it challenging to make progress academically and just kind of in the general growth and progress that we like to see in middle school. So while yes, partially my favorite part, it also is the thing that makes the job the most difficult, is really meeting students where they are. And that could be very different every day based on what's going on in their lives inside of school and outside of school.
So, who were your main idols when you were young?
That is a very good question. Who are my idols? I really loved some of the TV shows that I watched growing up. I was a huge Gilmore Girls fan and really idolized Lauren Graham, who kind of played the mother figure on the show. I went to a lot of Broadway shows when I was younger and kind of still do. My mom is she used to be a theater critic, and now she's kind of still involved in Broadway. So I loved getting to see the shows. And while I knew that I never had the singing, dancing, dialogue ability to be on stage myself, I really, really loved getting to watch it. And that was always kind of my answer. If I could do anything in the entire world and be good at it, it would be I think being on Broadway. So I really loved looking up to some of the people that I saw when I was younger and are still kind of on Broadway today. People like Audra McDonald and Sutton Foster, Idina Menzel, Kristin Chenoweth, all those people that I really, really admired and was just kind of enamored by their talent.
Yeah, it's pretty cool what some people can
Was
do.
very cool.
So, I'm just realizing we skipped a question, but
That's all right.
let's go back because these two kind of are interchangeable. Was this the dream job you imagined yourself doing when you were a kid?
It was not. I
That
knew
doesn't
that
sound
I
like
it
it, but.
no, it took some time to get here, but that's okay. When I was younger, I always really loved babysitting, kind of started that at an early age. And then throughout middle school and high school, I worked as a tutor. I worked in summer camp. I really, really loved going to sleepaway camp in the summer. And then I ended up working there for a few years, and worked at some day camps. So I knew, again, always knew that this is something that I really enjoyed. I think I just wasn't sure for a while how to kind of turn it into a job. So when I was younger, I really wanted to be on the stage and just didn't. Again, that was never going to be the path for me. I definitely cannot sing. I'm tone deaf, but I loved getting to watch people and really kind of see their dreams come true in those type of situations. There was a time when I thought I wanted to be a teacher because I had some really great teachers. But again, that kind of ebbed and flowed with how I felt. I was a competitive gymnast for a while. I saw the Olympics somewhere in my future, which obviously didn't end up happening. But I think that was kind of the goal that I was working towards for a long time, and then some injuries, kind of ended that for me. But I was kind of all over the place. I felt really passionate about things that I was doing at the time and things that I was experiencing in life, and kept, trying to figure out what I could do to bring everything together and what that would look like in a career.
I think that's the thing with a lot of people, that they know that something, but they don't know how to channel that into a job.
Exactly. Yep, exactly.
So why did you pick this job? I understand you loved learning, but
Yeah.
especially in the special education field, why did you pick that?
I think there's a lot of, I think being with, I was working with first and second graders during COVID in their kind of foundations of literacy. And what I saw was obviously there was, there was a kind of pause in their learning and those such foundational skills. But I also really noticed that the just kind of their general self-esteem and ability to, kind of have the stamina to get through the day, it was really, really kind of fractured their sense of self and their confidence in just being in a school building. And that I think was the thing that really stood out to me, both with that age group and with, some older ages too, is that I think the stress and the emotional toll that some students experience when they're, having trouble in classes and are not really sure how to advocate for themselves and how to ask for help. That's really, I wanted to be a resource for those students. Because, that's definitely something that I experienced when I was younger too, is I, sometimes I would study for hours and weeks before for a test and I wouldn't do well and I couldn't figure out what it was that I was doing wrong. And I just remember that feeling of, I felt like I was failing, or I felt like, the work that I put into it wasn't enough. And that really affected, kind of how I approached school and, life outside of school. And I definitely kind of saw that firsthand with the elementary and the middle and the high school students that I was working with. So, that's your job. When you're in kindergarten until 12th grade, you are a student, and, you have to learn different ways for yourself to learn and, understand what resources are available and how to advocate for yourself and how to adapt to the curriculum you're learning and to the teachers you're learning from.
So, you said your career before this was, well, kind of just college, being a student, but also working at SoulCycle a little bit. So, what made you initially move on from your old job? Which I'm gonna say SoulCycle there, because like you kind of eventually have to move on from college, so.
Yes, exactly. Yep. Yes, I definitely had to move on from college. So when I left, I had been at SoulCycle for about 4.5 years. The last 2 years that I was there, I was working in their kind of headquarters, which is where they housed the operations team, the legal team, the talent team, finance, retail. It was kind of the hub for everything that you see in the studios, but kind of the behind the scenes work. And it was a really interesting learning experience. I actually did a lot of travel with them. They did some cool different experiential things. So it was, based on the bike, but they had concert series. We did a big event where Ciara was performing on stage, and then, people were riding their bikes off the stage. And it became kind of a really interesting way for them to bring something that is so kind of insular and just a studio inside a studio with bikes, and trying to make it more of a kind of global brand experience. So it was really, really interesting getting to see that growth. And I think while I did like what I was doing, I just always felt like this is not what I want to be doing. I learned a lot, and a lot of what I did there is definitely transferable to the work that I'm doing now. I just was looking for something that I felt kind of a deeper passion for. I think I wasn't I liked the people that I worked with. I liked my job, but it wasn't the kind of thing that I saw myself doing long term. And really, which is kind of what I was itching to keep doing, was the stuff I was doing outside of work, which was the, kind of tutoring and mentoring. So that's when I kind of got to that point after about 4.5 years that I wanted to be in a school, I wanted to be in a new environment, and I wanted to have the opportunity to kind of try different things and see what it was exactly that I was passionate about.
So you just went on like a thing of a trial and error, and then eventually landed
Yeah,
at.
Exactly. Yep.
Yep.
I worked at a school. I actually ended up working at the school that I went to in New York. I was there from kindergarten until 12th grade, and have some great mentors from there, some teachers and advisors that I had, when I was in high school, who I've stayed in touch with. So I actually reached out to my high school advisor, who's now the head of school there, and we kind of talked about, what it would look like to come work in a school and the different types of things that I could do to try to figure out where I wanted to be. So that was great that I could do that and kind of experience different parts
Yeah,
of the school community.
that's awesome that you were able to, go back to people you are new, had an experience with, and then, I think that was a good way to get into this.
Yes, it definitely worked out.
All right, so what was the biggest highlight of your career?
That is a very interesting question. I can't pinpoint one moment. I think I try to have highlights with every student that I work with, maybe less about me and more just, kind of when I really start to see the growth. There are a lot of students that I worked with in when I was student teaching in grad school. I worked in a charter school with students who, kind of were very. They were low academically because of poor instruction that they'd received their entire life. And I think, again, that made it really, really difficult for them to stay focused in school, to do their work when they were so, then they really were lacking confidence in their ability. And getting to see, even just the slightest bit of growth, getting them to write down an answer instead of saying, you write it for me, or them starting to feel like they can answer a question in class, and really getting to see kind of their confidence build throughout the year. And that was true in my student teaching, and it's true at Coley Town. I think every student that I've worked with in the past 2 years has had significant growth, and maybe it's not always, one moment where I say, you've surpassed all of your goals, but I think it's all of the little moments along the way with every student that have been the highlight that I can really say, look at where you were in August and look at all the progress you've made in January and March, and then, kind of at the end of the year in June.
So this is a bit of a different question, but it's still a question. I don't know.
Sure, ask away.
All right. So what are the biggest challenges that you think can be solved by my generation that you would want us to solve for you? Now the thing is, I don't know if you're part of the same generation, technically. Technically I am. But I'm just saying this
I
age
am,
group, this age group.
yes, this age group. I think I fall into the millennial age group.
All right, then.
Yes, definitely somewhere in there. I think that's around, I think that goes up until 95 or 96, maybe. So yes, I'm definitely a millennial. And I think the things that are that make maybe your generation and generations to come, what's difficult is that there's so much going on your phones. It is really hard to separate kind of from the digital world. And I think the face-to-face interactions are kind of suffering because of the amount of time that the next generation or two are spending on their phone and how they're relying so much on different tools like ChatGPT. I think, the critical thinking is such an important skill for students to learn and for, everyone to learn and continue to kind of develop that skill. And with the ease of finding information online and them kind of doing that for you, I think that's affected kind of some of the flexibility that students can have in how they think, how they present their ideas, and how they kind of build connections between concepts. So I think, the phones are great, and it is great to be able to contact whoever you want in 1 minute all the time. I just think that it needs to be, I think, more intentional the way that you're using technology and the way that we're approaching social media as a, more as a means to communicate and not as much a means to say, look at what I'm doing,
Yeah,
compared to what everybody else is doing.
exactly.
Yeah. And I think that's really hard when you're surrounded by it all the time. And, we see a lot of that. I think when I was in middle school, I could think that friends were hanging out without me, but I would have no idea because I couldn't see it online. And now, if you have that feeling and you open Instagram and they're all your friends doing something, I think it's really, really hard for students to, I think, maintain their relationships and also confront each other when they are feeling, if they're feeling left out, if they're feeling, kind of anything, the whole range of emotions that comes with those type of
Yeah,
interaction.
it's a great thing, but it's the I mean, hey, a lot of great things have their negative side, but like
Yes,
at
that's true.
but at the same time, if it would be used more intentionally, more purposefully, like, oh, I want to do this and then do
Exactly.
that,
Yes, and much easier said than done. And,
exactly.
definitely some things we can work on.
Yes. All right, if someone wants to follow in your footsteps, in your careers, what would you tell them?
I would tell them that it is okay to pivot. I think, when you a lot of times people graduate from college and they want to work in a career that matches their major, and sometimes they just kind of get stuck doing the same thing. And I think while my kind of switching paths was definitely it was hard and it was a hard decision, but I knew that I had to trust my gut and switch to something that I was really passionate about. So I think knowing that and knowing that every skill that you build in every job is something that's going to help you in your next job or your next career, whatever it is. I think the, knowing deep down that it is okay to not do something just because it's always what you've been doing. I think that's kind of the best thing that I would say for someone to follow in my footsteps or, anyone's footsteps in their future. Just, be okay with changing your mind. And it's okay if what you thought you wanted to do is not actually what you wanted to do, and you can take the time to figure out what it is you want to do.
So, I don't know if I should skip the next question because that was good. But because the next question is, what is your main life advice for people listening? But I don't know.
Well, I think I can add a little bit to that. I
Yeah,
think,
go ahead.
again, be flexible. I think don't take yourself too seriously and use the people around you for support. I think having community is so important at every stage of your life. And no matter where you are or what job you're doing, is I think, keep the people that you really care about close to you, and have fun, look for things that you're passionate about, and if you can turn it into a career, great. If it can be something on the side in your other career, that's great too. Just make sure that you are letting yourself find something that you really want to do, and not, again, as I said, not just doing it because that's what's expected of you or doing it because that's what you've always done.
Yeah, well, thank you so much, Ms. Joslav, for allowing us to interview you, or allowing me to interview you.
Yeah, well, thank you for having me. This is such a nice honor and great to talk to you.
You too. So, to whoever's listening, thanks for listening to the podcast, and we hope you enjoyed the episode, and we'll see you in the next one. Bye.